You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It was 44 years ago, landmark decision by the United States Supreme Court that changed the course of this nation concerning abortion and how we care for human lives. Today, many people gathering in our nation's capital saying we care about life. We affirm life. We're going to head to our nation's capital to check in with several people there this morning to hear their perspective right there from the march. We'll also hear from students from Lutheran schools here in the St. Louis area. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. So we'll check in with our students from St. Paul's Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Joining us first this morning from the National March for Life, Katie Schurman, with the LCMS Marching for Life there in Washington, D.C. Katie, thanks so much for joining us this morning from the march.
Andy, it is always a pleasure to talk with you.
How are things going this morning as people are gathering together, making their way over to the Capitol for the March for Life?
God has blessed us with beautiful weather today. Last year, he blessed us with a blizzard, which was also exciting. But it's really nice to be able to see the blue sky and the sun and some clouds. It's a bit windy, but that's okay. We can deal with that. And we just finished the divine service that the LCMS Life Convention that they hold, you know, for the Lutherans who are gathering to march. So we just finished that at the Westin Hotel, and now we're en route to the metro, which we're going to take to the march itself, which will be near the mall in Washington, D.C. Specifically, we'll be gathering on the corner of 12th and Constitution.
And many Lutherans gathering together this morning for worship as they prepare to head out to this March for Life. What do things look like for the many Lutherans gathering together this morning?
Excited because there are hundreds of us gathered here today. It's always a blessing when Lutherans from different states come together in one spot to join in a unified voice and supporting the gift of life that God gives to us, and hoping to march on behalf of supporting women and children and those most vulnerable in our country. Something else that's exciting is not just Lutherans gather. My dear friend Liz Kramer, she's Roman Catholic, and she has the history of coming to our conferences and conventions, the LCMS ones. She's just always pleased to be a part of the pro-life cause. So that is a joy, too, joining together with other denominations and other confessions of faith. And I believe that we're going to be meeting up with a substantial number of students from Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne also, while we're at the march, and we hope to be a visible, prayerful presence for the voice of life here in Washington, D.C. today. So if anybody is watching any coverage, look for the lime green hat and look for the hashtag Eyes of Life. If you're following on social media today, check out Eyes of Life, and you'll be able to follow some of what we're doing here today, but then also you can follow some stories of people who have Eyes of Life, who have been given life in Christ and therefore wants to serve their neighbor joyfully. And you can find their stories online as well.
Very good.
So I'm pretty excited.
I'm glad you mentioned the Eyes of Life. Certainly, you can follow eyesoflife.org. And as you mentioned in social media today, watch for hashtag Eyes of Life, as you can see many who are marching in Washington, and follow their story as well. I did see already some pictures of Concordia Lutheran High School, Fort Wayne, as they were making their way into the area as well. Some great pictures, the number of students from that high school, and one of their pastors from their high school, Pastor Chad Hoover, there as well. Lots of great pictures and some selfies from them on Facebook today as well.
And Andy, I don't know if you've heard yet, but Vice President Mike Pence is speaking today at the rally, which precedes the march itself. And that's very exciting because historically, especially for the last 8 years, of course, we've not really had a presence from our government represented at this march. In fact, President Obama was present at many different Planned Parenthood events. But what an honor it is, and what a blessing it is to have our Vice President of the United States not only going to acknowledge this peaceful protest on behalf of those who have no voice for themselves, but he's actually going to speak himself at the rally. And that encourages me. I hope it encourages others too, because it gives some light maybe that we might in the next few years ahead in the United States of America maybe just have a louder voice in support of those who are in need. So thanks be to God for that.
Katie, thank you so much for sharing with us your perspective from the March for Life, and stay safe. God's blessings, and thanks for what you're doing today.
Thank you for what you're doing, Andy. Take care.
Let's go to our next guest in Washington, D.C. today, Dr. Russell Gambozzi. He's a pediatrician and also a member of the American College of Pediatricians. Dr. Gambozzi, thanks so much for joining us via phone today.
You're right. Oh, you're welcome. There's a lot of noise in the background as our leader of the trip is introducing people to the mall, because got the Washington Monument in view. We'll be getting off our bus very soon.
So you're traveling by bus around the nation's capital. Is this a repeat trip to the March for Life for you? Or is this your first time?
This is my first time. Very, very excited about it.
Why is, as a pediatrician, why is this important to you to head to our nation's capital and on this day when we try to send this message that life is important, life is valued?
Well, I've been a longtime pro-life supporter, I've been director of a level 2 nursery, so I take care of babies born prematurely, and we in this country have one of the most liberal abortion laws in the world. And to think that we allow late-term abortions when we have the capability of basically saving almost all those children, to me it's just criminal that that we allow that in this country.
What are you hoping to see? What do you hope will you experience, or what do you hope will happen today at the March for Life?
Well, I hope, I think it's safe to say that with the new administration, we're all excited with the groundswell of kind of conservative thought, especially with regard to the pro-life issue. And hopefully this is a spark for some true change that's going to occur in our country that really is supporting of all child life. The multitude of children who have not gotten to live because of this, it's time that change. It's time that we, at the very least, put some significant restrictions on the abortion industry.
Now, you mentioned earlier you're traveling with a group. Tell me a little bit about the group you're traveling with today.
Well, we left from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It actually is a Catholic group put together by a number of parishes in the area. We've got a bus. I think there's 57 people on our bus, and there were two other buses coming as well from the local Catholic high school.
How would you describe the environment today? How would you describe the people coming to Washington? Have you seen others? Are you starting to see crowds there in the Washington, D.C. area?
Yeah, it's huge, actually. I mean, I can see a good probably a half mile from where I'm at now all around the Washington Monument, and there are just throngs of people here. From what I understand, there's usually a couple hundred thousand, and I think they expect quite a bit more than that this year. So again, I think it's a real encouraging thing, sign for all of us who believe in pro-life.
Dr. Gambozzi, thank you so much for being my guest, sharing your perspective from the March for Life, and thank you for your work with the American College of Pediatricians as well.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a great organization, and there are many, many kids. We've got to put a big restriction on this abortion movement, especially when kids are viable, when life at 22 weeks gestation and older, it really should not be permitted. So hopefully this is the beginning of some real change. And thanks for the Lutheran support. My kids went to Lutheran schools, and fully supportive of you guys. Thank you.
Well, we're glad that you're there as well. And you'll find many of the Lutherans there wearing the bright green, bright yellow hats.
Well, we got bright green scarves, so we'll fit right in.
There you go. The Catholics and the Lutherans with the bright colors today. Thanks so much, Dr. Gumbozzi.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Thank you. You too. And let's go to Deaconess Kim Biltman. She's with Concordia University, Wisconsin. She's director of campus ministry, and they're with students at the National March for Life. Deaconess Kim, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Glad to have some time to talk with you. Now, did you bring students again from Concordia University, Wisconsin to the March for Life this year?
Yes, I did. We have 17 here this year.
Why is it important to you and to the students to be a part of the March for Life?
Well, for me personally, I have been serving as a deaconess for about 15 years now, and just serving in the church and serving people of all ages, and just seeing how precious life is from the moment of conception until the end of life. And we as a group at Concordia are just concerned about those issues, and we want people to know the love of Christ and the value of life because of what Christ has done for us in giving his life. So, yeah, that's why we're here.
Now, you mentioned you brought 17 students with you for this very important march. How did you prepare for this? How did you and students prepare for this? When did you have to start making plans and getting students signed up to go?
We start right away as soon as students are back on campus in the fall. When our group, the day before classes start, we are already handing out information and sign-up forms at our co-curricular fair, and started meeting. Our group meets twice a month, every other Thursday night, and we talk about life issues, and we've done several things throughout the fall, praying outside of abortion clinics in Milwaukee and supporting a place of refuge, which is a pregnancy care center in our district there in South Wisconsin. And so we get together regularly and pray about this and talk about it, and we've been making plans for several months now. So.
Now, of those 17 students, is this the first time to the National March for Life for many of them?
For a lot of them, probably two-thirds. It's their first time, and about a third of them have come before. So.
For those who are returning, what did they share with the other students as they were making plans? What were their thoughts and hopes for this year's trip?
They basically have been sharing a lot about just how important it is for us to show God's grace and his love through all of our words and actions, and that's what this is really about, you know, that whether or not the laws change, what we can share with people and touch their hearts with is the most important thing, and we want to really touch people's hearts with the love of Christ.
Now, I recall in the past when you've reported live for us as well from the National March for Life that you've mentioned that it's a very peaceful tone throughout the march. Are you en route to the march right now, or have you made your way there already?
We are. So our students are actually helping out with the LCMS conference, and so I am down near the mall right now, but my students are strewn from the hotel where the conference is being held to the mall. As kind of markers along the way. We're all wearing bright green hats, vests, and carrying bright green umbrellas to direct the way for all the LCMS marchers. So, so we're down. I've made the trip down, and I'm down here waiting for everyone else to get here. And there's a lot of people gathering, and it's very peaceful, and people are, you can tell there's a lot of excitement in the air, too. I think there's a feeling of just kind of a new excitement with the new administration and things, too. So.
Well, that's very nice. The Concordia University, Wisconsin students helping out and helping get people from the conference to the mall this morning for the March for Life. Are you seeing other college students, other high school and college students at the march this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, we on our plane from Milwaukee, we were with Marquette Students for Life, and on the train just now, we were with another group of college students, and groups are walking past us constantly, and lots of young people, definitely.
Very good. Well, I hope that that your group is able to regroup later on today after serving and getting everybody safely to the March for Life. Thanks for what you're doing, Deaconess Kim Biltman, and for leading a group of students to the March for Life from Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We're going to go now to Dr. Donna Harrison with the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetrician and Gynecologists. Dr. Harrison, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Always a pleasure to have time to talk with you. This is what number is this for you in terms of March for Life?
This is number 5. And this is the best weather we've ever had. I'll tell you, it's been pretty challenging weather, but it's beautiful today.
Why is it, well, before we get to the march, for our listeners not familiar with American Association of Pro-Life Obstetrician and Gynecologists, tell us a little bit about your organization and why you are at the march today.
Well, we're at the march because we're both pro-woman and pro-life, and we believe that women don't know what the risks are to them of abortion. Everyone knows that their child is killed, but they don't realize that they're increasing their risk of breast cancer, suicide, depression, and preterm birth and subsequent pregnancy. So we make that information known to women and to doctors who actually don't realize it either. This is information that's been well documented over the last 4 decades. So we're primarily informational, but we also encourage our physicians to stick to the Hippocratic Oath, which says, I won't do abortion and I won't kill your grandmother. And that's important, especially at a time right now where conscience for healthcare professionals is being challenged. So our most important issue for the upcoming next year is to do whatever we can to help get the Conscience Protection Act passed through both the House and the Senate. Because right now, doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals have really no real rights of conscience, the rights to refuse to perform or refer for abortions or euthanasia.
You mentioned that you and the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetrician Gynecologists, or APLOG, is pro-woman and pro-life. What does that mean to be pro-woman today?
When we present at medical conferences where the predominant zeitgeist is pro-choice, what we explain to them is if you're truly pro-choice, then you would want a woman to know that abortion has serious health consequences for them, and that women who abort are at increased risk of, like I said, preterm birth, breast cancer, suicide, depression. That's a very important piece of information that's being withheld from women. So even those who are pro-choice should be able to agree that a choice should be an informed choice instead of the current ignorance and lack of informed consent that goes on. And that's what we mean by pro-woman. We actually care about the mom who's left over after her baby has been killed.
Have you made your way down to the mall yet, or still en route?
Yeah, we're right now. We're inside the media tent right now. I thought this would be a little quieter, but it's not much quieter. Sorry.
What does it look like today? I know you mentioned the weather is nice. What about the crowd there? What's the outlook like today?
The weather's beautiful, and I'll tell you, I've never seen so many people here, so many people so early. I mean, we came about 10 o'clock, and the march, the rally doesn't start till 12. And the subway was packed. So I'm really going to be interested to see how many people turn out and how young people are. It's always encouraging. This is the pro-life generation.
What do you think the outlook is like for this year and the future? I'm hearing more about the March for Life this year. Perhaps, you know, in the past, especially in mainstream media, we've not heard, we've been one of the few outlets that have covered the March for Life.
Yeah.
And I've heard a little bit more about it this year from other outlets. Glad to hear that there's some recognition that this is an important issue and that it's important to many people, and starting to see that a little bit more in mainstream media.
Well, and you know, I can't thank KFUO enough for being one of the faithful ones to say, look, there are hundreds of thousands of people here. Why isn't the media covering this? You know, so you guys have been there all the time, and thank you for getting that word out.
It's my pleasure, and thanks to you and the many others who are willing to share your perspective from that. Before we move on to our next guest, Dr. Harrison, anything else you'd like to share from the National March for Life?
Yeah, I'd just like to encourage everyone out there to ask their doctors where they stand and have they taken the Hippocratic Oath, and encourage their doctors to start speaking out about life, because we need more medical professionals to stand with us. And we're easy to find. Just Google Pro-Life OB-GYNs or AHPLOG.org. We need your docs to stand with us. So thank you.
Dr. Donna Harrison, the Executive Director of the American College of Pro-Life Obstetrician and Gynecologists. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Okay, thank you.
Now let's go to the Reverend Michael Salamink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Pastor Salamink, good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have some time with you this morning. How was Divine Service this morning? I caught just a little bit of it this morning. Saw you there celebrating with the saints the gifts of God.
It was seriously joyful.
It was.
One of the unique ways that that Lutherans witness to the sanctity of human life is by gathering together for worship, to receive the Lord's Supper together, and renew our faith and our confession, as then we go out to reflect the compassion that God shows to us, to everyone who is in the world.
As you gather together, I gather it was a crowded room this morning with Lutherans who are gathering together for this life conference.
We had a full house, and I am very encouraged to say that all generations were represented. From the very, very youngest, we had the Lord ordained praise out of the mouths of babes, and also our veterans of the cross who have served the Lord in his kingdom for many years, and then many students. At least half of our congregation this morning was students from high schools and colleges coming out to celebrate life. The March for Life is not so much a protest march as it is an affirmation of the gift of life that God has given us in our bodies and in the lives of our neighbors, every one of whom is a gift to us. So we're very joyful today.
Well, I understand you're making your way from the Divine Service at the conference, the hotel, over to the mall, and finally made it off of the train so we'd have a chance to connect with you.
It was kind of spotty connections as I was traveling beneath the streets of the capital city of this great nation, but I have two wonderful traveling companions, our Lutherans for Life Director of Missions Ministries, Hillary Hawk, and a friend, Martin, who serves on the city council in Prague in the Czech Republic, who is joining with the Lutherans for the March for Life.
As you're approaching the area of the march this morning, what are you seeing? What's the outlook like there?
Well, we're right on the corner of Constitution Avenue and 12th Street, and there are lots and lots and lots of people. Children, I'm seeing. I'm seeing people holding very life-affirming signs, groups of high school students who are excited, enthusiastic, singing. We were acknowledged by the driver of the train, welcoming all of us who were marching in favor of life. And so the sun is shining on the capital of the United States, and we are optimistic that in this capital city of this great nation that we will be able to give testimony to the value of human life, which God has given by his acts of grace.
What is the message that many marchers will be sharing today in our nation's capital, especially the message from Lutherans who are marching for life?
That message is quite simple. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves every person. And it doesn't matter what your age is or what your appearance is or what your ability is, that God has created you with his own hands, that he has redeemed you in the hands of his son, Jesus Christ. And God calls every human being into an eternal relationship with him. And that is the message that we want everyone to hear. It is quite simply the gospel of Jesus Christ that the Lutheran Church has stood for over 2,000 years. And we have a wonderful platform here in the capital of the United States to be able to broadcast that message and reflect our Lord's love and appreciation for life.
Now, I understand the rally is coming up in just about a half an hour, that really starts off the march, the rally in the area. And
a
number of speakers lined up today. Mm-hmm. Will you be able to make it closer to the rally where you'll be able to hear some of the speakers this afternoon?
That's a really good question, because the Vice President of the United States will be one of those speakers, and so there are some extra security measures, and that'll probably affect the crowd size. In the past, I've not been able to really catch too much of what the speakers are saying, but their job is to remind the crowd that we're here to celebrate and to be joyful So as we make our way, Andy, for the listeners who have not ever been a part of the March for Life, I don't think that there's an adequate way to describe just how large the crowds are. The streets will be filled with people and from all across the country and really from all around the world. And so we'll travel in this great throng of folks who recognize that everyone who's a member of the human race deserves our respect and protection.
Very good. Pastor Salamink, this is one of the key things that Lutherans for Life is involved in, is proclaiming that message, whether it's on a national setting or in the local congregation, local community. Thanks for what you're doing there and for leading so many at the March for Life this year. We pray a safe day and safe travels for you.
Andy, we are very pleased to be out here where our Lord is amongst his people, to have the chance just to remind everyone that that Jesus Christ has died to redeem you, and we want to love you as part of his family.
Thank you very much. Safe travels on your way back.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was it's always a privilege to get to talk with those who are attending the March for Life. Again, as Katie mentioned at the beginning of the program, you can follow on social media on KFUO on Facebook and follow the story there that we've shared today, as well as look for the hashtag Eyes of Life. You can see pictures all across social media with the Eyes of Life stories as well. Coming up in just a little bit, National Lutheran Schools Week. We'll visit with students from St. Paul's Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.